بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, and my guest speaker for today's discussion is Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
The concept of Walayat al-Faqih is the main topic for today's discussion. A very controversial topic. So many followers, so many, we can say, opponents. First of all, let's talk about the roots of this concept. I mean, define for us first the concept of Walayat al-Faqih. What is it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, Faqih is translated as jurist, a scholar in the religion of Islam, especially when it comes to jurisprudence, and wilaya is translated into the guardianship. Now, when it comes to the guardianship of the jurist, we can claim that there is a consensus among the Shia scholars that the fuqaha, the jurists, they have a kind of guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
But now the question is that what this guardianship is all about. I mean, in which realms, in which fields the jurists can, implement their guardianship.
Is this guardianship only happening at the time of Qiba of Imam Zaman or not?
For sure. I mean, okay. At the time of the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam,
we have the Wali of the time.
Exactly.
Okay. Or no, the Faqih was the Imam. We could see that, for example, Wilayat al-Faqih was Wilayat al-Imam, isn't it?
It's not mentioned in the narrations. That wilaya is not called Wilayat al-Faqih.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, we can claim that the same title can be used, but it's not used by in the narrations as Wilayat al-Faqih.
So in the absence of an imam, there are some people who are called Faqih and they have guardianship in some specific realms.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the question is that what are these realms and what are these fields? So some Shia scholars believe that, for example, when it comes to some orphans, and we know that the orphans, they are in need of a guardian. So fuqaha, the jurists, the great scholars of each time, they are the guardian over the orphans and the properties of the orphan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or some properties which are lost and they are found and there is no owner, found for them. So the guardianship over these properties are for the jurist, and they decide about these properties. Or if there is a kind of inheritance and there is no heir. So for these limited fields, there is no discussion among the Shia scholars. These are mentioned in the narrations. Yeah. And of course, this is also rational that when it comes to the orphan, if there is no Islamic government, no one is going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is the duty, and at the same time, it is the right of the jurists to have a kind of guardianship over the orphans.
And this is only happening in the Shiite lands, isn't it? I mean, the concept of Walayat al-Faqih. Or it must necessarily be for all Muslim lands, but now the Shiite are following it up.
I mean, what I mentioned has nothing to do with the Islamic government.
Okay.
To have a kind of guardianship over the orphans, for example.
Okay.
I'm not talking about...
You mean in general?
Yeah.
Whether Muslim or non-Muslim?
No.
John the Muslim lands?
In any land.
In any land, okay.
It is only done by the jurists over as long as the law of that country permits.
Okay.
But for sure, within the Islamic lands, this is also more clear. So there is no challenge in this regard. The challenge comes for Walayat al-Faqih in its political sense. The question is that, does the jurist also have a political guardianship? Meaning that, is he able to establish an Islamic government? And which means that he is the leader and all the people need to follow him like they had the obligation of following the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Now, in this regard, we have a kind of different viewpoint, yes, among Shia scholars.
So whether it is absolute velaya or we can say, how can I say, semi-ownership of velaya or something
and
like
that? Or specific to some fields.
Yeah, okay.
So the concept of velayat al-faqih as expanded by some great Shia scholars like, Na'ini, for example, from more than one century ago.
Yes.
And in our time, of course, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, and many great Shia scholars of our time.
Mullah Ahmad al-Naraqi, Ja'far Kashif al-Ghita, these are
exactly
the people who organized the theory, yeah, of velayat al-faqih, okay?
And they took it from the Narushans, of course.
Yes. Okay.
They believe that the guardianship of the juries is not limited only to those fields that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They say that we can take from the Narushans and also some rational argument that the juries has the right, when the conditions are there, when the situation is okay, to establish an Islamic government. And then people need to follow and to accept the guardianship of these juries. Of course, when it comes to only governmental issues, not the personal issues.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
So, as I mentioned, the great majority of Shia scholars in our time, they do believe in this concept when it comes to political field as well. And they refer to two types of arguments. One point is they call it, rational arguments, and the other is the arguments from the verses of the Quran and the narrations. So one point the majority of the Shia scholars refer to is that according to narrations and according to the intellect, when we have the majority of a Muslim living in a land, for sure they are in need of a leader, an imam.
Yes.
لَابُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ imam. So establishing a government in and of itself is accepted by any intellectual person. I mean, all rational people agree that to have a government is better than living in chaos without any government.
Okay.
Now, the point is that, okay, so there is no doubt about the importance of establishing a government. Now, if the majority of the people of that land are Muslim, the same intellect requires that because of the fact that they prefer the Islamic laws to be implemented, then they are in need of an Islamic government. And who can be at the head of this Islamic government?
Yes.
A person who is the most, who is familiar with the Islamic laws, because he is going to implement the Islamic law. So he cannot be, a person who is not knowledgeable, who is not a mujtahid. The question is that we know that the Holy Prophet Islam, peace be upon him, and his family, when he was in the city of Mecca, he did not establish any government. Only in Medina he was able to establish a government. And no one can deny the fact that the Holy Prophet founded and established a government.
Mm-hmm.
That was an Islamic government in the city of Medina and in some surrounding areas. And after him, we have Imam Ali alayhi salam ruling over people for about 5 years, and Imam Hassan alayhi salam for a couple of months.
Yes.
But then the other imams were not able, they did not have the conditions were not met for them to establish a government. Now, if the conditions are there and as I mentioned, for example, the majority of the people want an Islamic government, then to establish an Islamic government is a must. Why? Yes. Because the religion of Islam consists of some laws, some of which are not able, cannot be implemented without having a government.
Yes.
So, for example, we have, when it comes to criminal law and civil law, when you have, Muslims living together, in many cases, they are going to refer to a judge. So we are in need of an Islamic judiciary system.
Yes.
And then there might be some punishments like hudud, what they call it, hudud. So a part of the religion of Islam and Islamic laws are these criminal and civil laws. So
yes.
If you do not have an Islamic government, you are not able to practice, put yes. into practice this part of the religion. And, or for example, as a Muslim country, you may need to, defend yourself in war,
mm-hmm.
or you may need to come to a peace treaty, a peace agreement with other countries. So without having an Islamic government, some parts of the Islamic laws cannot be put into practice. So for that, we are in need of an Islamic government, which need to be headed by a jurist. Because as I mentioned, if Islam is going to be mm-hmm. the source of the constitution and the Islamic laws, then the one who is well-versed in Islamic laws should lead the government.
So otherwise, it very much depends on the person who is ruling over the Islamic lands on that time. He has to be just, he has to be, as you said, have full knowledge, because we have some systems nowadays, for example, in some neighboring countries of Iran, who are following the kingdom system. Mm-hmm. They are called Muslims, they are Muslims, okay? But they are not jurists.
Exactly.
But still, they are ruling over the country.
Yeah, as long as that person leading the country is not himself
mm-hmm.
an expert in different fields of Islamic studies,
okay.
especially jurisprudence and also, politics and so on and so forth.
Is it possible for a person to master all of them? Or no, he can use from consultations of the others around too. A wali, a faqih, who is ruling over an Islamic land, okay? Himself alone, for sure, cannot decide for all these new modern world dimensions of the life. So, for example, can he enjoy the consultations of some experts around, and then still we can say his wilayat al-faqih is intact?
A very important point is that no one can claim that wali al-faqih is like an imam, an infallible imam. For sure, there are much differences between a wali al-faqih, jurist who is the guardian, and an infallible imam. The infallible imam has all knowledge, divine knowledge that he is in need of. Through divine permission, they can have access to that knowledge. But for wali faqih, of course, there are many conditions, as you rightly mentioned. One of them being knowledge, justice, and insight regarding different issues.
Okay.
So he needs to have these requirements, but at the same time, he cannot be, like an imam who has the full knowledge over every field of study. So for sure, a leader, a jurist who has all these requirements, then need to, in many cases, consult different
yes.
people to give him some consultation, different issues, so mm-hmm. that he can come to a final decisions. So these are some points. Then there are some verses of the Quran
yes.
and the narrations,
okay.
which can be more important in our discussions, that we may need to discuss in the following session.
Inshallah. So our discussion remains incomplete on Wilayat al-Faqih. Some of our dear listeners might be interested in some books. Wilayat al-Faqih by the late Imam Khomeini is a very outstanding book. Wilayat al-Faqih by Abdullah Jawadi Amali. And also Wilayat al-Ilahiyat al-Islamiyya by Muhammad Mu'min Qumi. Thank you much, Sheikh Khairimi, for a nice elaboration.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. لبن
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
لعلي وحسين وحسن